Good morning, everyone, on this lovely, beautiful spring morning. It's probably going to be the warmest day so far this year. I think that's a blessing, with the bright sunshine. And no, I'm not Pastor Andy, and I'm not Paul, certainly not Taya. I'm Ron Weens, and we will be inviting church members to serve as worship leaders during spring and summer this year. So I'm the first guinea pig. Hopefully, I won't make too many mistakes. So, again, welcome here. And as we all know, the health mandates are such that we no longer have to wear our masks, but certainly public health recommends that you do so. We know that the mask wearing and social distancing has had an effect. So if you choose not to wear a mask, or if you choose to wear a mask, just be mindful of that particular thing. Going on with our announcements, as always, you can get online or hear a paper copy. But certainly have a look at the week at a glance. We have a great facility, great building here, lots of activities. Please take a note. There's something for everyone. And if you see something that you're interested in, note the time and the day and participate in that. Of special note, next Sunday morning, May 1st, at 10 a.m., there will be a prayer time for the need for our leadership and the leadership group to pray for our committee and to hopefully get some support for the committee and our search. So if you have any questions about that, give Trudy Entz a call. One thing that is always in the news and in the bulletin is MCC Ukraine. That is a big, big thing, and it's ongoing, and there is always that emergency response that is needed. I did get an email myself from MCC this week, and they are also requesting that there are other areas in the world of concern. Myanmar, Burkina Faso, Ethiopia. If any of this touches your heart, please make your donations either through the church or directly to MCC, and do that over and above your normal budget giving. Now, I think that's all the announcements. So our call to worship. This morning, we will be doing the last of the season of Lent readings, and it is about the resurrection, and let us focus our worship on our journey to the cross of Christ and resurrection. I will start with the reading from Galatians 2, verse 19 to 21. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Charles W. Everest wrote in the hymn, Take Up Your Cross. He challenges us with these words. Take up your cross, the Savior said, if you would my disciples be. Deny yourself, the world forsake, and humbly follow after me. Take up our cross, let not its weight fill your weak spirit with alarm. His strength shall bear your spirit up, shall brace your heart and nerve your arm. We thank you for that, for those words. And we lost my note here. See? knew I'd do something. And we will continue on with an opening prayer. If you would bow your heads, please. Thank you, Lord, for being with us this morning. It is a beautiful day. It is the first Sunday after your resurrection and crucifixion. And we are so fortunate to live in a country and a time where here we can honor your name. Help us to open our hearts and minds to your word. Bless Paul and his message this morning. Bless our songs and our music leaders this morning. Bless those who provide all of the support, the ushers, the AV crew. Bless them and keep them, and thank you for them. Lord, a week ago we celebrated Easter, and now we look to the resurrection. We thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins and rise again. Now we are in the celebration of his resurrection. As the world is spinning wilder around us, let us become quiet and reflect on your presence in our lives. Help us to focus on this positive, not the negatives, as we listen to your word. Be with us not only today, but throughout the week. Help us live by example for you every day, not just today. We pray this in your name. Amen. Song leaders.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord.
Reading from John 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
This next song is based on Isaiah 61, verse 3, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the plant of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Garment of praise.
Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the set you free. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Lift up your hands and hang on. Lift up your voice now, God, continuous praise, sing forth from Zion's hill. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise with the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Sing to your end. Hallelujah! Worship and praise our God. Praise and adore Him. Bow down before Him. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise.
Thank you, singers, for leading us in that. Is that garment of praise known in this congregation? Really? Oh, it's one of my favorites, John. Garments of praise. Oh, I love that one. Let's do that regularly. Not every Sunday, of course, but what a wonderful song of praise. Put on the garments of praise. Let us magnify the Lord together. Good morning, church. How are we all doing today? Well, there are some within our congregation, we're aware of that, talk about making mistakes, John. I forgot my reading glasses. There are many in our congregation, and we are well aware that are in the middle of battling, recovering from COVID, and yes, that's the truth, and others, of course, are home for other variety of reasons. So those of you that are listening at home, we're thinking about you. If this was a video, I'd ask that we all stand up, turn around, and wave to the camera, but we're here, and we're worshiping the Lord. Thank you. The blessing of God be upon us all. Thank you, Brother Ed, for the reading of the scriptures this morning. May God speak into our hearts in his word today. Let us join our hearts together in a time of prayer for one another, for our congregation. Thank you for reminding us, Ron, that in addition to the Ukraine, there are many, many, many troubled spots, refugees around the world fleeing acts of violence. Let us bow our hearts in prayer. We ask, O God, that you might clothe us. Yes, breathe into us your spirit, God, and clothe us. We know we are clothed in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no spot, no wrinkle. Sinners saved by your marvelous grace and the resurrection of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ attest to that. That we might all the hours and days of our life put on the garments of praise. As we pause during these moments, God, we acknowledge as one portion of the body of Christ that we are alive and we are here to praise you. Yes, in quietness, but also in great anthem and song. Thank you, God, for the reading of your blessed word. May your word continue to give to us life and direction. Blessed are those who believe, our Lord Jesus Christ said to Thomas, who have not seen the physical resurrected body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and yet by the gift of faith we come to believe. And so we are here this morning as a part of that body of Christ, acknowledging, God, that many of our beloved brothers and sisters in Christ are not with us today because they're recovering. They're recovering from sickness of body, or perhaps in their mind and their heart, they just didn't have it in them to come to this place of worship. We will not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And those at home, those who are listening, those who receive the printed transcripts of the sermons of our pastoral staff, may we all be encouraged. For those who are named in our church bulletin, for Peter, for Ike, for Waldemar, for Herb, and in the silence of these moments, we bring to you our friends who we know need an infilling of your Spirit and a touch of your healing balm. In these silent moments, we bring those names before you, God. And it is, God, as we continue in our prayer, that we cast our eyes beyond our local congregation, a congregation that is well served by men and women in positions of service, in speaking, in teaching, encouragement, and helps. Oh God, may we discover and utilize those gifts and talents that you have given to us within this body of Christ. But beyond our local assembly this day, as we have been urged to pray and to give and to support the disaster relief arm, the support of Mennonite Disaster Services and Mennonite Central Committee. And so it is, God, that we ask that the funds, the monies that would be received by our agencies, such as MDS or MCC, that they would be wisely administered in the areas where there is greatest need. For we know, God, that there are needs around this world, in addition to the ones that even have been mentioned by our worship leader, Ron, this morning. We ask, God, that you might open our hearts and our bank accounts, that we might give and support around the world. We thank you, God, for the political leaders who rule over us, for those who serve on our streets and on hospitals, and in our courts. We ask, God, that you might give wisdom and sound judgment and decision-making for politicians, both within our land of Canada and indeed in troubled spots around the world. And so we quite simply pray for peace. We pray for good government, for those who are suffering, for the millions of refugees around the world who have sought out a safe haven. Thank you for the caregivers who come alongside. Encourage them in their ministry, that they might be, as it were, the very presence of Christ in the midst of these disasters. This day, God, we join with Christians around the world, with the Orthodox Church in Ukraine, who is seeking to worship in the midst of the bombings. And as Christians here on this another Sunday, which is a remembrance of the resurrection, we gather and we worship. Undertake for us as we continue to speak through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we are living in Christ. The cross is before us, behind us, in front of us, but now we are living in Christ. Many Christians considered Christ to be Jesus' last name instead of realizing it was the description of the ultimate victory that Jesus had over death and the grave. He was raised Christ triumphantly. And you may say, well, Paul, what's the big deal between using the name of Jesus and using the name of Christ? What's the big deal? Jesus' death on the cross, it was and is a life changer. A life changer. The entire doctrine within the Christian canon of doctrines that we believe as essential, the doctrine of, here's a big word for you, soteriology, which means the doctrine of salvation. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross is a life changer. while Christ's resurrection is a daily, daily life changer. Because it's a life changer that all of us who seek to be followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, we seek that process. It's one thing to talk about being born again and have the indwelling Jesus Christ within us, believing by faith. But there is that process of transformation. Indeed, every Sunday, as I alluded to in my prayer, provides the Christian community with an opportunity to reflect and to rejoice that He is risen. And on this post-resurrection Sunday, we could focus on many of our Lord Jesus Christ's appearances. And Brother Ed read to us concerning one of those post-resurrection appearances of our Lord Jesus Christ. You read the gospel narratives, and there are quite a few post-resurrection appearances of our Lord Jesus Christ. The road to Emmaus, the upper room, the shores on the Sea of Galilee. By the way, that's where we'll be preaching next Sunday morning from John's Gospel, chapter 21. But on this first Resurrection Sunday, I want to change things up a little bit. And I hope you will come with me on this journey. For I am choosing to preach today on the experience of the Apostle Paul while he was still called Saul. But before we look at Paul's post-resurrection experience with the risen, glorified Christ, let's just be reminded of a few things. Our acceptance, our personal acceptance of the significance of His death upon the cross brought you and me into a right relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. He accomplished our salvation on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins were laid upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins have been dealt with. While, here we go, with Christ's resurrection, it gives us the assurance that we are being indwelt by the living Christ, and we are being transformed into greater and greater conformity to our Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian journey is about transformation into the image, the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we celebrate resurrection today, let's ponder the significance of those two names, Jesus and Christ. If you had been present at the moment of the resurrection, what would you have seen? If there had been a video camera outside the tomb, what would it have recorded? Perhaps there would have been a huge flash of light or a subtle glimmer of a dimension beyond our usual perception. At the resurrection, we believe that the tactile, historical, physical body of Jesus moved beyond any confinement to time and space. The presence which was captured in finite form was revealed to be an infinite omnipresence. He moved from the historical, physical Jesus to Christ, which now includes in its sweep all of creation. And even you and me, we are included. Christ's resurrection changes everything. We are followers of the living Christ, not as many would accept. Well, Jesus was a good moral teacher, and we seek to follow many of his principles in our life. The biblical texts all agree that this movement had a physical dimension to it. But it is a new kind of embodiment that is both of this world and yet not limited to it. Oh, the divine mystery of the transformation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is over all and in all. Now, getting back to St. Paul, on the road to Damascus, Saul. And it was Saul on the road to Damascus. It was there on that road that he witnessed the transformed, resurrected, glorified Christ. What a pivotal event. It was life-changing for the Apostle Paul, for Saul on that road to Damascus. For he was witness to the transformed, glorified, yes, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's testimony, let's make no mistake about it. Those of us who read the Holy Scriptures, whether it's the Gospels, whether it's the Old Testament Scriptures, but in the Gospel narrative, we read of Jesus Christ and of his death and his burial and his resurrection. But let's make no mistake about it. When we read in the Scriptures, particularly as we get into the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote under inspiration of the Spirit of God, when he gives instructions to the local churches, when Paul is giving his reflections, he is giving to us the great body of truth concerning your transformation as a Christian. Whenever that material and spiritual coincide, there is the Christ. And that Christ is active and involved in each of our lives today. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we understand, he accepted his full identity. And he walked into recorded human history as Jesus Christ, who lived, who died, who was buried. But when he was raised from the dead to the glorious truth that we too are to be transformed, how can we begin to imagine that this Jesus Christ, fully human and fully God, at the same time, they coexist now. So now we can begin to imagine the material and the spiritual are one in Jesus Christ. The human and the divine forever are one in Jesus Christ. The physical plumb to the very depths in his death. The physical being of Jesus Christ experienced death. And he finds his own transformation in his resurrection. Oh, the mystery of Christ is revealed, and Christ is revealed again and again in our lives. We too are being transformed by the power of God. We too are to walk this earthly journey as little Christs who are being transformed. This Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. In the prophetic book of the Revelation of St. John, we read in Revelation 21, I am making the whole of creation new. It will come true. It is already done. I am, Jesus speaking, Jesus the Christ. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, Revelation 21, verse 5 and 6. There is this optimistic arc to all of human history. This is not simply the humble Galilean carpenter named Jesus. This is, if I might use that word, cosmic Christ who is over all of creation. This is much more than just a religious message. It is also a historical message that we need to grasp in this day and age. It declares that there is a trajectory in human history, and it's optimistic, and Christ is over all and in all. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome and correctly predicted what would come because of this Christ. Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome in Romans chapter 8, whole creation, the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. This is the one who will make a whole new creation. Jesus Christ, Paul goes on to write, it is Christ Jesus who died. More than that, who was raised to life. Oh, friend, on this post-resurrection morning, take heart. For it is written,
Nothing
will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the Christ who is triumphant speaking. Jesus of Nazareth, he did not talk that way. This is the triumphant Christ. It was Christ who rose from the dead. Jesus willingly died so that the message of the cross, which is foolishness, which is a stumbling block to many, that the message of the cross could be universalized, that Christ has arose. Yes, still Jesus, but now including and revealing everything else in its full purpose. Do you get the picture? Do you get the huge panorama? Do you get the big deal about Christ in his triumphant resurrection and how it changes everything? I love the words that Paul wrote. And this, of course, was well nigh 20 to 30 years after the era, the period of Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. Paul gives instructions to the Christians at Colossae. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed upon the cross. Colossians 1:15-20. The Apostle Paul is including you and me in that great anthem of praise. When we come to the book of the Revelation, it was 60 to 70 years since Jesus' human body ascended into heaven. The Christians have now met a fully available divine presence that defines, it liberates, and it sets a goal and a direction for all of human history. This presence is more than just saying the name Jesus. It's the indwelling power of Christ. Allow your head to spin, and allow your heart to soar with the truth that Christ is living in you, is transforming you. Oh, truly, it is a divine mystery. Can this preacher get an amen? Let me use plain language here. After conversion, you are in God and God is in you. You are in the middle of this reality, this God reality, capital G, capital R. You're a part of it. It's a mystery of participation. Let's make no mistake, after his conversion experience, after Paul got converted, he got converted in a sound way. And he was obsessed with the idea that Paul realized that he was participating in something that was bigger than him. Oh, yes, it's a mystery. Who can fathom it? This is a divine reality of transformation. In fact, it's interesting. Paul, in his writings, check me out on this, uses the phrase, I love it, in Christ. About 160 times in his little letters in our New Testament scriptures, in Christ. He uses that term in many, many, many contexts, but it's always in the sense of we have this organic unity and participation in Christ. Paul has the best one-liner to describe himself. I don't know how you describe yourself after you came to faith in Jesus Christ, but in my opinion, one of the verses that Ron read to us in his call to worship, Paul has one of the best one-liners when he says, I have been crucified in Christ, with Christ, excuse me. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives where? In me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Now that is the testimony of a man who is being transformed because of the indwelling presence of God within him. That is your redeemed, reconciled reality. If you hold to the confession that we hold to, do you believe this truth? Do you claim it? Do you experience it? How have you experienced this transformation in your life? How do you describe yourself and your relationship to Christ? This is a completely different experience of life. I don't have to fully write my private story. It's being written with me and in me. I am already a character on the stage of Christ's redemption of my soul, of my life. I am being used. I'm a chosen vessel. I am being led, for I am in Christ. Let all God's people say amen. You will know that after conversion. You will know that your life, it's not about you. It's about Christ in you. You're a piece of both. You, your life is both a piece of the agony and the ecstasy of God that is happening inside of you. And all you can do is say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do you know this about the crucified Jesus and the resurrection and transformation of this Jesus Christ? After transformation takes place and you begin to sense the wholeness, presence of the divine reality within you, of God's presence within you, it's not about doing it right. It's about doing it with pure intention. It's not about being correct. It's about being connected to God through Christ living in you. We are a sinner and we are a saint. We are somehow wedged together in this holy union with the triune God, Christ living in you. Plus, as the text also tells us, our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Dearly beloved child of God, it's pretty crowded in here. There's no room for self. And so we are falling in love. Being in love. What an awesome journey it is to be in love with the right person. And in our journey of faith, we speak of a deepening relationship, a love relationship with our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh. You see, meeting the risen Christ on that road to Damascus changed everything for Paul. He experienced the great paradox that the crucified Christ was in fact alive, and that he, a sinner, was in fact chosen and beloved, sinner and saint. We too are loved. In many ways, this message today on this first Sunday after Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, we need to understand that This testimony of the Apostle Paul that fills his letters in the New Testament scriptures, the emphasis that Paul gives, and I say this with the greatest of care, stresses not so much the death and the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ in his writings, but he emphasized the glorious reality and experience of the resurrection and our transformation. For these letters of Paul, we understand they were written 20 to 30 to 40 years after the historical Jesus died upon the cross. And it's through the writings of the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Spirit of God, that really the foundations of so much of our Christian church is based on. The mystery of our participation in Christ. Paul's great experience on the road to Damascus, which changed him from being an enemy of Jesus Christ and his followers into an ardent supporter of the early Christians, made him into one of the strongest witnesses to the power of the Spirit of Christ. For it is, as Paul wrote, it is in Christ in whom we live, move, and have our being. Text from one of the sermons Paul preached in Acts chapter 17, verse 28. While the Gospels, as we have already mentioned, describe Christ's life and his death and his resurrection, it is Paul's New Testament letters that bear witness to an intense and deeply transforming faith, rooted both in powerful personal experience and in the community of the early disciples that became the Christian church. Paul describes himself as a man in Christ. How do you describe yourself? For here is a man in Christ who is trying to articulate the mystery of that deep union that he has with God. Paul wrote, I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. Time and time again, Paul spoke of being in Christ. For him, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Where is the I in your life? Or has the I been replaced by Christ at the center of your life? Oh, fellow Christian pilgrim, are you living and experiencing that blessed reality? Do you seek to keep in step with God's Spirit? The Christ of glory, our blessed Savior, indeed, the Spirit of Christ living in you. Open up the door of your heart to the transforming presence and power of the Christ in you. May God grant us the calm assurance that Jesus loves me and that Christ lives within me. And all God's people said, amen. Please, song leaders.
Can we agree what we just have heard? Can we say another amen?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. We'll sing two verses and then benediction, and after that we sing the third verse.
I'll sing harmony first. I'll sing.
How
deep the Father's love for us.
he should give his only son to make the rest his passion. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mother chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders, ashamed I hear my mocking voice along the mountain's cobbles. It was my sin that held him there until his dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished.
Can we stand?
May we always lift up the blessed cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. For God, you so loved the world that you gave your precious Son. And as we walk our own personal roads to Damascus, may we experience the transformation of Christ within. Now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit of God rest upon all who love the Savior and look forward to his coming again. May the peace of God be upon us. Amen.
Amen. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I in this free word? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have been